Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 8 o'clock.
It's time for more 92.9 The Game tonight.
Let's keep it going now.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hour number two, 92.9 The Game tonight. Atlanta Braves, 20 minutes away from getting going. WNBA draft is rolling through. I wish the NFL draft could make picks this quickly. They're like already on pick six. The NFL'd still be trying to field trade calls for the second overall pick before Washington just sends in Jaden Daniels, which they were going to do the whole time. I would love for them to speed up the draft. Get it going. Appreciate the call from Wayne there to end our last segment. And that's exactly the sort of mindset, comments, and pressure that I feel a lot of the fan base has. That it's kind of like, I mean, I hate to like reference the film Draft Day all the time, but I love that movie because it's hilarious. And it's kind of like every fan just has a scribbled up piece of post-it note that says Dallas Turner, no matter what. Now, it's the Vontae Mack number one overall pick. We're talking about number eight here. But still, it's since he's going to be there, it may as well be Dallas Turner no matter what. That's what it feels like for a lot of this fan base. And how is that impacting the approach of Terry Fontenot and Raheem Morris? I think ultimately they're still going to make their decision based on what they feel is best for the team. But they're going to have to live with that. They're going to have to answer to it. And I just don't know how open to hearing the answers a lot of the fans are here. Let's keep that conversation going with Austin. What's going on, Austin?
Yeah, well, no one went to Bo Callahan's birthday party, so that made the Vontae Mack pick a lot easier.
I mean, yeah. Sam Elliott's not a very good college head coach either, so let that be known.
No, I was just thinking, I'm just a quick call, and this is more like a Andy Randy AMA, because I don't have too much of an opinion on this, other than I do really want defense. But no one's really talking about, what about trading that number one, eighth overall pick for a veteran pass rusher? Who would you think is worthy of that, if anyone?
Well, there's a lot of issues there. Currently, you don't really have the cap space to do that. In terms of a number one overall pick, it would have to be a guy like at the franchise tag value of quality. I mean, it'd have to be a guy that's probably between 23 and 28 in terms of age and is like a bona fide guy. And I just don't know if that guy's out there. I mean, you know, was Brian Burns that type? Potentially. I mean, obviously the Giants got that done and paid him. The thing is, you just don't have money. I guess we made a real run at Danielle Hunter and came up short. Part of that was money related. Part of it was he just wanted to be in Houston, and that's fine too. That's the other aspect of this argument, isn't it? You wouldn't have cornered yourself into going pass rush at eight or whatever your first round pick ends up being if you had done things a little differently in free agency. And I think people would have liked to have, quite frankly, and I believe that Darnell Mooney's going to ball out. I think people would have liked to have seen that money used elsewhere on the field. It's quite simply how it is viewed in this city. Now, does that change when we hit the field? And can he, you know, if he's catching 10 touchdowns this year, will people view the $39 million a little bit differently? I think so. We'll continue to take your calls on this throughout the day, so feel free to join in, 404-726-0929, or online on Twitter, at Abe Gordon. I mentioned a little bit of Trae Young, and another snub for Trae Young. And probably isn't like the biggest surprise in the world, but USA Basketball is finalizing their roster for the 2024 Paris Olympics. And guess whose name's not there? You've got Steph Curry, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Jason Tatum, Joel Embiid, Devin Booker, Tyrese Halliburton, Anthony Edwards, Drew Holiday, Bam Adebayo, and Anthony Davis. I know Jalen Brunson has an argument, and quite frankly, I think so does Trey. And the frustrating thing for me in regards to Trey Young continually being snubbed by Team USA is how much he's vocally advocated for himself in terms of wanting to be there and wanting to do it. I know a lot of these guys probably look at it as not just an honor, but Trey is really active, really, really active in trying to get onto Team USA. And it looks like they're going to hold open one roster spot. I'm not saying it's going to go to Trey, but I would really like it to be. How much does the late season injury, did it impact that? I don't know what else he could do, to be honest.
Is it because, too, like, you watch a fair amount of international basketball. When the Olympics are on and the FIBA stuff, the FIBA World Cup stuff is on. It's just because that game is just...
I don't want to hear the game fits this or that.
I'm just like saying,
that,
though.
I know. It's an argument that gets used.
Because that's what the lineups that they had last year, they thought they had a specific lineup, and it just... You ended up having guys like Austin Reeves and Jalen Brunson playing and Tyrese Halliburton playing the four.
Well, that was also a FIBA World Cup, not the Olympics, which is not that, – that's almost always a B squad. I was actually more that Trey couldn't even get into that squad. But, I mean, I understand why. I do. They probably want a little bit more defense. They probably want a little bit more size, to be quite frank.
I mean, France is going to start, what, three towers this year with – Wimby, and then what, Sars or whatever the guy is that's going to be drafted this year, and they got another tall guy,
I think,
too,
he's France. More of a true small forward, though, the Frenchman this year. I don't know what they do.
He's like 6'10", though.
Someone's
yeah.
got to be a point guard on this. Is Tony Parker still playing over there?
Absolutely.
No? Okay. So. I mean, Patty Mills is still playing for Australia. We'll see. We'll see him and a couple other guys in their fifth Olympics. Let's get back to the phone lines here, but just really frustrating on behalf of Trey Young. 404-726-0929. Jody wants to share his thoughts on the Falcons draft. What's going on, Jody?
Hey, what's going on tonight? Hey, prior to us picking up Cousins, which I wasn't a big fan of, I would have gone defense. No questions asked, kept Ritter or Heinicke back there, run the ball, throw it sparingly. But since you went out and spent all that money on Cousins, I would get the first available best wide receiver. Even though we picked up those two scrubs from Arizona and Chicago, London needs a Robin or a Batman. I don't care what you call it. Throw it all over the yard. Throw it to Bijan. Let him get the runs when we need it. And Algier. But when we got Cousins, you gotta show him off. You gotta use the guy for 2 years. What do y'all think?
Well, a couple things. I think if you're talking about Rome Odunze, Marvin Harrison, or Malik Nabers, I think you can consider any of those three guys at eight. I don't think you can take the next tier of receiver at eight. I don't even know how big of a split there is between the next tier when you get to, like, the Xavier Worthies, Ladd McConkey, Brian Thomas, whoever it is. Ricky Pearsall. I do think there's a solid separation between the top three guys and the next group of receivers. And so I'd be a little concerned there if you're taking wide receiver four or below. But anything above that, if it's one of those top threes, if it's a Dunze, Nabers, or Harrison, I would be hard-pressed to pass that guy up. And if you're so intent on taking pass rush, you got to trade out and let someone else take the receiver there. They're just too good. And I just, quite frankly, I'm too concerned that Dallas Turner is not the pass rusher you think he is. I hope I'm wrong, by the way. Like, I hope we look at this and say, my goodness, Dallas Turner dropped all the way to eight. How is he that far off everyone's board? Like, that's the dream, right? The dream is you get the draft's best pass rusher and you're able to sit at eight and do it. Because you look at the other drafts in recent years, and Myles Garrett goes one overall. Nick Bosa is in the top three. I forgot the list. There's a bunch of them that have gone top three. There's also been a bunch of busts that have gone top three. Deion Jordan, remember him? Solomon Thomas. So, not quite as simple as you might think. You know, I had this golf topic. It's kind of more of a question in general. Maybe you have some answers to this, but we're going to talk more golf at 9:20 when Will Haskett joins me to break down how things wrapped up with the Masters. We're going to talk Braves in a little bit and the PM Power rankings at the end of the hour. But Scottie Scheffler won the Masters, and I'm sure you guys have heard this story. There was almost a chance it didn't happen. And to catch you up, his wife is pregnant and is due any day. And to his credit, he said, look, and I'm not quoting here, I'm just paraphrasing. He said, look, if she goes into labor, like I'm bouncing, I'm out. Like I can play in more Masters down the road, but I only get one opportunity for the birth of what I think was his first child. Not his first child. It was a child. And quite frankly, it seemed like he was ready to leave Augusta National if he had to. Now, fast forward to the end of the story, we know how this goes. Obviously, he was able to stick there. It pays off because he wins the Masters for the second time. The question I was going to ask, and maybe I'll put this out on Twitter, and if you want, you could give us a call to answer this question as well, 404-726-0929. Is there a story you have of an instance where you missed out or almost missed out on something? It can be sports-related, but it doesn't have to. And if you missed out, do you regret that decision? Did it ultimately wish you had gone the other way with that decision? I got two that I thought of. And they were largely out of my control. And so I don't know how much of this was just me making a decision versus that's how it happened. A couple years ago, I was supposed to go to Las Vegas for the first time. I've never been to Vegas. I still haven't been to Vegas. I was going to go for my 35th birthday, and I was going to meet a couple buddies who were going to – one lives there in Vegas, one or two were going to roll over from L.A., and we were going to have a weekend. And I had to cancel it because of COVID. I had to cancel my – and I had saved money. I was ready to drink, and all that stuff, 35th birthday. I had to can that because of COVID. And then a couple years before that, I had taken a new job in Los Angeles, and I had a baseball trip with my dad that I had planned that I had to nix on that front as well. So, it would have been a shame if Scottie Scheffler left the Masters for the birth of his child. And obviously, because he went on to win the Masters, even more of a situation where, like, man, that was kind of close. 404-726-0929. Orin, is there any, now you've got a little son, Franklin. Is there anything that's happened since, or I guess since your wife got pregnant, but including the childbirth and all that, where you had to miss something, give up something you really wanted to do? And if so, did you regret it? I know you go to music a lot. Have there been concerts you had to miss, something like that?
I mean, there's been some concerts, not for kids because of work, though. But normally, though, like we're really good here about if there's something I really want to see or really want to go do, that I'll find a way to go do it. That being said, I don't think there's been something that I've wanted to see that I did not try to find a way to see, so to speak, because of the child or the wife, so.
Yeah, and you've got other situations where you could have help watching the kid, yeah, and then you could go out for a night. Yeah,
you have arms to watch the kid.
Rising tide lifts all boats and sends Oren out for the evening sort of situation.
And we have used the rising tide to help us on several occasions have some fun nights, so yes.
There you go. All right, we got the Braves game. It's underway. I want to talk about what the Braves are doing. Both with the fifth spot in the rotation, I want to talk about what we finally saw out of Max Fried. Are you concerned about Sale Morton? Are you concerned about Ronald Acuna Jr.? Is Marcelo Zuna playing his way towards another new contract? We got a lot to discuss with the Atlanta Braves. We'll keep you updated on this game as well. And we'll continue on. We've got the PM Power Rankings in a little bit also. And we've got Will Haskett in the final hour chatting about the Masters. It is 92.9 The Game tonight, live from the Kia Studios. Abe Gordon here with you until 10 o'clock on Sports Radio. 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back in, 92.9 The Game tonight. Abe Gordon here. Going to be talking about the Atlanta Braves in just a moment. Got a couple of things from the weekend I took notice of. Some good, a couple of not so good. And so we're going to break it all down in just a moment. But I want to go back out to the phones. We'll still be taking your calls throughout on the Atlanta Falcons draft. Do they have to take pass rusher? Is there so much pressure on Terry Fontenot that they have no other choice but to? Well, that's kind of what we're discussing to some extent here on 92.9 The Game tonight. We continue that conversation with Mike, who was gracious enough to join us. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, I'll tell you what. I'm not all that sold on pass rusher. Now, cornerback, yeah. But I'm just going to throw this out there as a little shocker. Why don't you go offense and go say something like if Brock Bowers? Now, I'm not a Georgia fan by any stretch of the imagination, but I know a good player when I see him. What would somebody like Brock Bowers fell down to you at 8? Would you pick him and put him out on the field with Pitts, and then you're eliminating pretty much what you got offensively is just a dynamic, explosive offense.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Mike. I'm not convinced that that's the type of offense that Zach Robinson wants to run. I'm not necessarily against the idea of pairing Pitts, Kyle Pitts and Brock Bowers along with Drake London. I do think that leaves you quite a need for a guy down the field. And I know Darnell Mooney and Rondale Moore can potentially service that. But it does feel like it gets very tough to find space when you got two tight ends both going down the field and a number one receiver in Drake London that's not necessarily stretching the field either. So, you know, maybe you go inside out, you use Kyle Pitts from the middle to stretch the field. There's a lot of different ways to do it. I think, quite frankly, there's going to be better players than Brock Bowers there at 8. And considering your need, I just if it's Bowers or one of the top receivers in Odunze, I would rather go Odunze there or whatnot. But, you know, interesting thought, decision. It does look like there's a pretty good chance Bowers going to slip. It does look like he might fall down to the Falcons beyond the Falcons. But that really depends on kind of what happens with the Chargers. You know, before Keenan Allen was moved, there was probably a thought that they could go with Brock Bowers. It feels like they need one of those receivers now. So we'll keep an eye on what they do when the NFL draft gets here in a week and a half time. Like we mentioned, the Atlanta Braves are underway, and I expressed some frustration earlier on at the idea of rotating these pitchers that I just don't believe in. The hole is obviously left by Spencer Strider. The hole is going to be there all season long. If you hadn't heard the news, I hardly believe I'm the one to break it to you, but Spencer Strider is out for the season. He did have a procedure. It's not Tommy John, but hopefully it will serve to get him back 100% by the start of next season. But he's out for the entire year. And I'm still trying to figure out what the plan is. It's not for lack of options, but right now the Braves are quite simply not going with the best options. And I don't believe the conversation surrounding those decisions. I'm sorry. Like, Bryce Elder not being on schedule's not a good enough reason. So take him off schedule for a day or two and get him in our rotation. But Allen Winans and Darius Vines, even with the Braves offense, which is really not as hot as you would hope they were right now, I find it very tough to believe you're going to win that many games. All right, so who are we concerned about? Who are we not, right? I think it started with the idea of Max Fried. I was getting close to being concerned in regards to Max Fried. I said, okay, look, he had two starts. One of them was ruined by a bad umpiring decision. I don't know what happened in the next one. It just wasn't good. And I said, look, I still believe that that guy is there. That Max Fried, the guy who can compete for the Cy Young, is still there. And I wanted to see it Friday night, and guess what? He brought it. Max Fried is back. 6 1/3 innings, 4 hits, 1 run. And it was needed, both for a team that's kind of scuffling a little bit and for him personally on the season. It was needed. There's no denying that. We saw Chris Sale pitch deep into the game the other day, but he did allow 5 runs. I take more away from the idea that he was going 7. I think that's a good sign that he's extending himself in these games, considering all of the health questions we've had for Chris Sale over the years. That is good to see. Now, if he can get to the 7th while only giving up 2 runs, 3 runs, be better than going there with 5. Charlie Morton, he's allowed 4 runs and 6 runs in his last 2 starts, respectively. But he did pitch into the 6th inning both times. So some good with some bad. Quite frankly, the rotation has not been as strong as I hoped it would be. Part of that is because you don't have Spencer Strider. Part of that's because Max Fried was not good for 2 of them. And then part of that's because we decided to run Allen Winans and tonight Darius Vines out there. And we're going to see if Darius Vines can escape trouble and get through a couple of these innings, because I have a tough time, quite frankly, believing that that's the best option now or at any point. And Brian Snicker can go on a press conference or do an interview and say, it's a long season. We need to protect their arms. We're doing a good job, blah, blah. Like, I don't know. I just feel like the obvious decision is there to be made and is not being made. Maybe Darius Vines will surprise me. He surprised us in his first start last year. Remember that? And then it, like, just came back to earth. It fell right back down. That was not good. But I don't know. Maybe he'll surprise me this year. He's already allowed 1 run, but he did get out of the first in today's game. So, the Braves are not off to the start that we kind of hoped they would get off to, right? It's a long season. They're still leading the division. It's all to play for. But the interesting thing is how fans don't seem to care about things that mattered in the past. And whether or not they mattered or not is in debate. I don't know, but like, I don't know. Fans don't seem to care about winning 100 games this year. You know what? Like, I'm fine with that too. Like, just win the East. Make sure you beat the Phillies, the Mets, the Marlins, and the Nationals. I'm good with that. I don't even care if you're the number one seed in the National League. Like, home field. I at this point, based on what's happened the past 2 years, I don't know if I want to be the number one seed and have that bye in the first round. You'd almost rather threaten losing and being bounced out of the playoffs in a short series than you would sitting out for a week. Now, this is the one where it gets dicey. I've heard some people say, just get to the postseason. I still want to win the NL East. I do still want to win the NL East. And so I'm keeping an eye on that. Probably shouldn't be scoreboard watching already, but I am. So the Phillies lost, you won. Yeah, I think the lead's back to 2 games, and we play through it from there. Now's the real star of the early portion of the season, because while I believe Ronald Acuna Jr. is the best player on this team, he hasn't gotten it going quite yet. He's still without a home run. We have seen him start to run a little bit more. And so I understand that. But he's still without a home run. But one guy who keeps cranking home runs is Marcell Ozuna. It's not fair to say single-handedly won you a game yesterday, but obviously he was your last gasp, last hope, and he got it done. And Marcell Ozuna, you know, as close as we were, myself included, to being done with him a year ago, I think he's put himself into that category of we might need to bring this guy back for a couple more seasons. And I know there's a team option on him, and it seems likely that they would pick him up. But, I mean, this is a guy that's leading Major League Baseball right now in RBIs, is tied for the league lead in home runs. He's led the league in home runs and RBIs in the bubble. Remember that? And you start to wonder if he could threaten for MVP. I know a lot of people are going to talk about DHs winning MVP and how much Mookie Betts gets credit for playing second base or now shortstop, stuff like that. I don't know, man. Like, if he leads the majors or even just the National League in home runs and RBI, it's going to be tough. And certainly when you're talking about RBI, he's going to continue to have opportunities because of who's batting in front of him with Ozzy and Riley, Acuna up there. He's going to have opportunities. He's beloved by the team. I know the fans may have a perception after some of the issues he's had off the field, and rightfully so. You're fair to have that. But he is beloved by the team. And quite frankly, he doesn't have signs of slowing down. Like, it looked for a while like it was the end of what was a short-lived power hitter's career. He picked it back up, though, and he hasn't stopped. And so you start to really have this discussion about the future of Marcell Ozuna here. And it's, you know, for all of the concerns we have at the start of the season, right, the rotation has not been great, and obviously the season-ending injury. The bullpen hasn't quite been dominant either. Still waiting on Ronald Acuna Jr. to get going. And there are a couple of others. Obviously, Sean Murphy gets hurt day one. That's not great. But, man, having Marcell Ozuna play at the level he's playing at still makes you believe something can happen. It's a long season. We talked about it, right? It just doesn't feel like it did last year, though, does it? Like, we're doing this Thursday grab bag on the midday show with Andy and Randy. And one of my questions is, will the Braves have a win streak of 8 or more games this year? Now, look, things can change, and the bats can get hot as the weather warms up, and you could get on a roll. But, like, right now, if you had to answer that question, and they're going to on Thursday, I'm going to put it at the top of the list. Like, right now, I don't know if I see that. There's too many holes in the rotation. The offense is okay, but the offense is what? Right now, just in terms of runs scored, fifth best in the National League? I don't know where they rank in the majors, but like fifth best in the NL? And I know they've played less games, so you can kind of, I didn't get the runs per game average. I just went total. I just sorted the table. So they have played less games, and maybe they would cover that distance. But I don't know. It just doesn't feel like it did last year, right? We kind of got that feeling early on, didn't we? When the pitchers had some subpar starts, when Max Fried was out in the first inning and you still won that game. It doesn't feel like that right now. Doesn't mean it'll never feel like that the rest of the season, though. All right, when we come back, it is time for the PM Power Rankings, a sports topic and a non-sports topic. My list of 5 coming your way. I'm also going to tweet it and get your reactions. That's what's coming up next. It is 92.9 The Game tonight, live from the Kia Studios on Sports Radio. 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Welcome back in, 92.9 The Game. Going to get to the PM Power Rankings in just a moment. We got Outside the Perimeter coming up to start the 9 o'clock hour. We're also going to be joined by Will Haskett chatting about the Masters. A couple other golf topics I want to get into him as well. The future moving forward for a couple of players who fared well, including Scottie Scheffler, your defending now Masters champion. And boy, it's a tough weekend for a couple of former champions as well. John Rahm, Tiger Woods, they made it, but had the rough go of that there. So anyways, all right, we have two topics, a sports topic and a non-sports topic. So let's go ahead and get into it.
It's time for the PM Power Rankings on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, Oren, you did not give me these topics, but you are here to serve as judge, jury, and executioner, which
sure,
is
why not?
A little bit problematic since one of these is a semi-musical topic. I think we're going to start with music and then and go from there. I was asked to give my top five music beefs, and I'll be honest, I'm not like the biggest. My awareness of musical beefs. I mean, sometimes I hear about them, but they probably go in one ear, go out the other. Historically, I don't know all of them. So here we go, Oren. Number five is a throwback. Throwback.
Real throwback. How far of a throwback are we going?
Eminem and Christina Aguilera.
Oh my gosh.
We're talking throwback to the VMAs and stuff.
You know what? The craziest thing about that.
That Christina Aguilera had nothing else to respond with. What are you gonna do? What are you gonna do, you know, if Eminem like comes at you and you're Christina Aguilera?
You know, she did like a diss track, right?
Do you know about it?
It's
exactly.
Yeah, it's online.
Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't.
It's not very good.
Yeah, because you're going up against Eminem. There's no rebuttal there. If you're Christina Aguilera, you just have to kind of take it, and she did. That one's more just from the comedic aspect. You're like, man, it really. Kind of, like, and I love Christina Aguilera, but like, what is she supposed to do in terms of response? At least with some like the rap battles, there's a response going on there. Number four, my favorite music beefs, Prince and Michael Jackson. I didn't know it was like that big of a deal.
Oh my gosh.
And like I said, I like music beefs are not like right in my wheelhouse.
Prince did not like that dude.
Yeah, I just found out about that.
Oh my goodness, the story about you look up for fun how Prince was supposed to be on the on Michael Jackson's Bad. Look up why Prince decided not to be on Michael Jackson's Bad.
Yeah, so there you go. That's number four. Number three, and honestly, probably should be higher, but I don't think I reorganized the list. I'm going to reorganize it. I guess I won't. Whatever. Nas and Jay-Z. Like, that's the one. And, like, all due respect to what Jay-Z did in this beef battle, the music that Nas put out, like, on Stillmatic,
It was fire. Two of the single greatest diss tracks in music history.
Yeah, and so Nas and Jay-Z.
Ether and Takeover. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Ether, when Ether starts, just boop, beat Jay-Z.
Yeah.
Oh, my. That's how we're starting this song,
Went
Nas?
Right after it, right up to it. Number two, you may know more about this than I do, like, traditionally, but Mariah Carey and Whitney Houston got into it pretty bad at one point when Mariah Carey was coming up, and it looked like she was kind of overtaking the Octave Queen title.
Whitney was sort of a diva, but they made good and ended up doing a bit together at the MTV Movie Awards and Video Awards. So they, whatever beef they did have, they were able to sort of patch it up. But, I mean, those are two divas who are very territorial, and Whitney coming up, very territorial. Mariah coming up, wanting her shine. So there you go.
Yeah, there you go. And then number one, Taylor Swift and Kanye West with like a kind of like a tip of the cap to Beyonce's role in this. Although I don't know to what extent Beyonce actually wanted to be involved. Kanye kind of forced her way in.
Nobody ever wants to be involved in the beef with Kanye West.
I don't think people want to, you know, never mind. I won't even go there with Kanye. But yeah, like Taylor Swift got some pretty good digs in that people maybe aren't familiar with. And then like she also just went after Katy Perry with Bad Blood as well. So there's that. Taylor Swift, I mean, Taylor Swift's beefing, which is just hilarious. And obviously you're used to, like, rap beefs and, like, a diss track. Taylor Swift does it. Taylor Swift puts her beef out to the world in the form of number one hits. You know how funny that is? This is not some underground tape that you got to get from a dude out of his trunk to hear. This is a number one hit they're playing on radio, and she's just blankety blanking different people that she's run across.
Nah,
that's some star power.
There's some other ones that are not necessarily.
I didn't want to go Biggie and Tupac. Like,
you can go Eagles and Steely Dan and.
I looked at some of the other ones.
There's a couple. Skinner and Neil Young.
Hall & Oates are in a real nasty one too right now.
Good Lord, those two, man. Like,
Simon and Garfunkel
so
had their falling out. Obviously, Lennon and McCartney had their falling out. And so there's no shortage of
thanks, Yoko.
Top five music beefs. And so, yeah, I'll be honest, like, that's not like a wheelhouse category for me. So, I had to do a little research.
You found a little research. I found some things out, though, yes.
The ones I knew I wanted, like, without research, I knew I wanted Taylor and Kanye, Nas and Jay-Z, and Prince and MJ. And then when I thought about it, I'm like, dude, the Eminem Christina one was hilarious. Just because Eminem kind of did this Taylor Swift thing where he got after Christina Aguilera in like, a massive hit. And that's a problem for her. There's no coming back from that.
Showing my age here a little bit, I guess, but I remember the special with her and Britney, where she uttered those magical words. He's married, ew. And then like just sort of the disgust Christina had, and then
turn it around and here's the number one hit.
And then Eminem at the MTV Music Awards that year, dapping up Carson Daly.
All right, so that was my top five music beefs. That's the non-sports topic. The sports topic, also a little bit about beef. And beefing. My top five in-game fights. And obviously we took, like, MMA and boxing, like a traditional, like a combat sport out. And so it's got to be something you're not used to fighting. And although hockey would count, even though there's kind of fights involved there as well. This one, I went pretty rogue on this list. And you may remember some of these and you may not. But Georgetown basketball. My number five, Georgetown basketball.
That was the, like, international fight.
They went to a goodwill trip to play a Chinese team.
Oh, my God, yes.
The Bayi Rockets. And it turned, like, filthy, nasty, really hard fouls. They didn't even this is a goodwill game. They didn't even finish the game. Georgetown just started throwing punches after one of their guys got kind of bumped, like, at midcourt. Like, not even, like, attacking the rim, just got bumped. And they got after it. So, not even like the quality of the fight, the fact that it was like in a goodwill trip to China, and you're just, you know, the game was at 2 a.m. and you wake up, you're like, wait, Georgetown did what overseas?
Excuse me?
Okay. Number four, Knicks Heat in 98. This is the one.
The infamous.
It's Jeff Van Gundy grabbing onto Alonzo Mourning's tree trunk of a leg. And Alonzo threw like eight punches, I think, before realizing Van Gundy was attached to him. I don't know where Van Gundy ran from, but he came off. He came off the bench, but it was so quick. He was the first one to Alonzo, and then he just went down immediately. So that's number four. Number three is Pedro against Don Zimmer. It's like a know your limitations thing.
For Don Zimmer, you're talking about?
Well,
I don't know if Don didn't expect that.
Yeah.
He didn't charge at him,
though. It's a fight. Expect it. And here's the thing. Like, for everyone out there that's going to be like, yeah, man, don't mess with old man strength, let it be known, old man strength runs out at some point. And when you get to the level that Don Zimmer was at, you don't have old man strength anymore. Kind of thought he was going to break his hip on that tumble. That's the level of strength he was at. I was like, look at this feeble man fall to the ground. I don't blame Pedro for that. All right, number two. Number two almost became a bigger deal because of how it was broadcast than the actual fight itself. But FIU against Miami in football. This is back in 06. The fight started when a FIU cornerback, but he was on special teams, he just drilled the holder after a PAT. And then Lamar Thomas, remember up in the booth.
Lamar got fired for that, didn't he?
I don't know if he got fired, but he got fired up at least.
Yeah, he got super excited about it.
He came in with, like, don't talk trash, get your butt whooped and come in here. And he was all about it.
He was amped.
He would have fought if they were, like, doing some weird Pat McAfee stuff where they do the show from the field. He would have fought. That's how that went down with him. And then number one is Malice at the Palace. I think enough is said there, but, like, my favorite part of it's not the Artest going into the stands and fighting the wrong guy. Like, that's a big part of it.
The part of it, yeah.
No, my favorite part is Jermaine O'Neal.
The punch, the stretch punch.
From, like, a 15-foot and then a crow hop into a punch of some unsuspecting fan.
That stretch punch, man.
And just put the dude out. Like, that was so much better than Artest going in. Into the stands.
The guy squared up to like he was going to. Like, dude, these are professional athletes, man. They're going to. That night, I was taking a nap. It was in college. I was taking a nap, and it was a late nap, and I had the TV on in my room. And, you know, sometimes when the TV's on, like, you'll hear something, and it kind of gets like, oh, is that a dream or whatnot? And that game was on ESPN that night. And all of a sudden, I just remember hearing in my dream, Artest is in the stands, and I was like, wait, why am I dreaming about Ron Artest in the stands? Woke up 30 minutes later, I saw exactly what happened. I was like, oh my God, I slept through the craziest thing that ever happened in the NBA.
I remember when it happens, I was like, all right, like the guy threw something. Like, I don't know. I'm not even that bothered.
We remember how it started. We weren't even that. It was the fight before the fight, because it was a blowout by the, if I'm not mistaken, the Pistons were blowing out. Was the Pistons blowing out the Pacers? It was a blowout game one way or the other. You had a hard foul by Ben Wallace on Ron Artest, and they pulled Ron out the game to calm him down. And that's when he was lying on the
scoring
table.
He's lying on the scoring table, gets hit, and it just kind of goes to where he thinks it came from.
He's got headphones on. He's talking to the radio crew, or the TV crew. He's talking to those guys, and then the rest is history.
Yeah. All right, so those are my topics today. They have been posted on Twitter, at Abe Gordon. Feel free to
you ready for these, buddy?
Share disdain if you do not agree. I know the music beef ones. People are going to probably get in my mentions, notifications. You forgot about this one. You forgot about that one. And I actually welcome that. I'll be honest. Like, I you know.
Please inform me.
I know a fair amount about a variety of music, but feel free to bring me up to speed on what's going on. So
you ready for tomorrow?
Yeah, so we need a new sports topic and a new non-sports topic. So what do you got?
All right, your non-sports topic, sir. The top five worst things about living in Atlanta.
I can fill that out so quickly.
I'm sure you could. Your sports topic, sir. The top five postseason seasons in sports. So what sports
so like
have
the general
best,
postseasons?
Yeah, what sports have the best postseasons? It can be pro or it could be collegiate. One of those two. I will leave it open for interpretation.
There's gonna be collegiate for sure. I might combine. Because, like, some are the same format, right?
Essentially,
like,
yes.
College baseball and college softball is the same format.
You have the regionals and the
super regionals
and then
the College World Series, Women's College World Series. But I love the format. I'll dive into that. I'm already done filling out my top five worst things in Atlanta list.
Already?
I mean, yeah, kind of.
You just did it already?
Yeah. We might add to it. The problem with that is it's a recency bias. Because I was out walking the dog. I'm like, man, the pollen sucks, but the heat's not much better. Those two are on the list.
Okay.
Those two are on the list.
Well, how about this then? Maybe for the first time.
Do heat and humidity have to be one thing? Can they be separate?
Maybe we make that a top. Instead of it being
a five, we'll give
like a seven or an eight.
No,
for that.
If I deem it, I'll go honorable mentions. Because okay. I had honorable mentions for my guilty pleasure song. So we'll see if there's an honorable mention on that. All right, that's the power rankings. Feel free to chime in on Twitter at Abe Gordon. But we are also going to get to some national stories. There's a lot going on in the world right now. Certainly a lot of excitement about that one as well. So when we come back, we got 1 hour left to go. We got a lot to talk about when we head outside the perimeter. That's coming your way. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.